friends. Welcome back to the Work Your Wealth podcast, the show where we're teaching you how to make smarter choices with your money. I'm your host, Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner and founder of Workable Wealth. Today, we are celebrating 100 episodes. Woo! I don't have a little button where I can do the fake applause in the background, but just play it in your mind. And we are also kicking off 2020. So it's a new year. We are on our 100th episode, and I cannot believe I've been doing this for 100 episodes. And I am very, very excited to be here. I'm excited for a new year, for some enhanced information here on the show, for some great guests. And I'm looking forward to what 2020 has in store for this show, for the Workable Wealth platform, for myself, my career, business, Abacus. There's so much that's coming down the pipeline, and I'm really excited to kick the year off. So thank you for being with me for 100 episodes. I hope that this show has inspired you and motivated you to take action in your financial life, or just been like a safe place where you can take pause and say, oh my gosh, I'm doing amazing. I have made so much progress. I'm kicking butt. And that this show encourages you to do that. So thank you for being here as a listener. And let's kick it off. So 100 episodes. And one of the things that I have learned throughout this show and my career and client work and personal development work on myself is that there's a numbers game, right? There's the numbers component, but there's also a psychological component. There's a mindset component that comes with your finances. You have to be in the right mindset if you want to make progress with your money. If you're a person that feels defeated, feels maybe like the world is out to get you, that nothing ever goes your way, that really plays out with your money. If you walk through the world with that on a consistent basis, it can definitely translate into your money. And on the flip side, I have found that gratitude, having an attitude of gratitude when it comes to your money, as silly as it sounds, actually has a positive impact on your habits and your mindset and your net worth in a lot of ways when you have this positive outlook. So when you can incorporate gratitude into your financial plan, what I've seen is that you're actually able to slow down. You're able to make better decisions about your money, and you're able to leverage your wealth in a way that has a positive impact on the lives of others. So being grateful and having gratitude around your finances and for what you have actually can lead you to having a more fulfilling daily life. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about gratitude and how a practice, a gratitude practice, can positively impact your financial life. And I said it can positively impact your net worth, but it really can just impact and creates this feeling of ease and of clarity and purpose in your life. When you're more positive and you have this gratitude practice, that's definitely light years different than feeling like you're constantly in this hustle and you're constantly running and you're exhausted and you're not able to take pause to measure the progress and see how far you've come. So an attitude of gratitude is actually very helpful. So number one thing that gratitude can do is that it can prevent overspending. So think about it. So have you ever felt frustrated with where you're at in life as you scroll through Instagram? I know that Instagram for me is like a mind-numbing thing, so much so that I actually deleted Instagram off my phone probably in the middle of November, and we're now in January and haven't put it back on yet, considering it. But there was a little bit of just this numbness or frustration that would come as I'd scroll through Instagram, not to mention the targeted ads. They know what I like there on Instagram and Facebook. They know. They follow us. I mean, we all know. So when you're scrolling, you're starting to feel a little bit down, and then you see an advertisement pop up in your feed for a new pair of workout leggings or a new dress from Nordstrom's would be what usually pops up on mine. So you see this ad pop up for these workout leggings that you probably, or dress that you probably do not need. But because you're already feeling a little bit down, you kind of find yourself just reaching for your wallet, for your credit card, and you're clicking through to the website and thinking, I should get this. I'll return it if I don't like it, blah, blah, blah. And then when it gets there, you're holding on to it. It's a classic trap that many people fall into. And it's not limited to just targeted advertising on social media. Although it's, depending on your generation, it's probably getting you. And it can definitely bust your budget. But when you go through life feeling like your circumstances are less than what you need to be happy, then you're more likely to overspend to fill that void. So if you're feeling down or feeling negative, and then you're scrolling and seeing what other people have, and you think that you have less than what you need, then you're more likely to spend money to try and fill that void that you are telling yourself that you have. So instead, if you focus on the things that you're grateful for in your life on a daily basis, you don't actually have that same urge to make up for what's not there. I'm doing makeup, like air quotes. So you could be working towards big goals in your life, like your career, your finances. And that doesn't mean you aren't happy with what you have right now, but there's still ways to have a daily gratitude practice that can help curb those impulse spendings and push you to stick with your budget. So even if you have bigger goals, this is not a point to say you're not happy or you shouldn't have goals. This is like a day-to-day happiness and understanding what you need. We always want to strive for progress and moving up. And it's okay to be a little uncomfortable, but that negativity, that constant, oh, this is awful, this is so bad. And even pausing and being a little bit grateful for that job that is difficult, but that gives you a salary that pays you, that maybe has benefits, that is getting you through to your next job. Being grateful for the income that you have coming in now will really help you to settle in and be more motivated and focused as you're looking for that new opportunity. Everything that we have in our lives, those could be opportunities for us to leverage to lift us up even further. And so it really depends on your mindset. It's very easy to get run down and exhausted and burnt out and to forget that what we do have currently and what exists in our lives can also open and lift us up to doors for new experiences. So gratitude also helps you to stay open to new opportunities and to make wise decisions when they come your way. So ask yourself, when was the last time you made a financial decision because you were afraid or frustrated with your current circumstances? And this pattern can actually show up in a number of ways and doesn't always directly connect to overspending. For example, you might find that because you're not feeling fulfilled in your current lifestyle, you take a job offer that pays you more. So you're going to make more money, which is great. That is exactly what you need, is more money, except the hours are more demanding and the position requirements don't actually fit your career goals. So even though you're making more money, now you have less personal time for yourself and you're in a career track that maybe you weren't wanting for, that doesn't fulfill you personally. But hey, you've got more money. So is that really worth it? And is that what decision you should have made for your life? Or was more flexibility and personal time and balance more important and less money? Those are things. Sometimes when we're chasing just dollars and we're feeling ungrateful for what's coming in, we make rash decisions that impact us in our life in other ways. Another example is deciding to move to a lower cost of living area because you wanted a bigger house. And even though the new neighborhood isn't conveniently located and it means a longer commute for you and time away from family. So you need a bigger house and you have that. You're in the lower cost of living area, but now you're away from your family more because you wanted more space. So again, is that what you want because you told yourself you needed more space? And I'm not saying this is not a judgment either way. It's really being clear on this is what we need for our family. This is what's going to make us the happiest and being grateful for it, but also understanding, are you making the decisions that you, for things that you need that maybe you don't, that are going to make you unhappy in the longer run? So really thinking about your needs versus this happiness factor. It's not necessarily always about having more or bigger or better. Where is that balance there? And how can you find that personal fulfillment that's maybe not going to come from more money, more things, bigger things, excess? So in life, we're going to have a number of opportunities and decisions that come our way. So some will positively impact your lifestyle. Others will help you to increase your net worth. And some will do both. And so when you get a new opportunity and are faced with a big financial decision, it can be really helpful to keep a gratitude mindset as you think through all of your options. So when you're grateful for what you already have, you're able to honestly evaluate the pros and cons of every financial situation that you run into. And then you're not as likely to make decisions out of fear or coming from a mindset of not enough. Instead, you're going to be empowered to make financial decisions that move you towards your long-term goals and positively impact both you and your family. And I know there's a lot of us who make decisions out of fear, but we talk about this a lot when it comes to timing the stock market. And I think Ariel and I have talked about this in previous episodes. The market's up, for example, they're like, ooh, I'm fearful that the market is going to go down. So maybe I should wait until the market goes down before I invest my money. So trying to time the market, and we, none of us really know if the market will go down, especially when you're in a long-term investment strategy. If you're in your 30s, 40s, there's a longer term till you need your money when you're investing for retirement. That's fear. That's fear getting in the way of you putting your money to work for you. On the reverse side, some people are in the market and the market goes down and then they want to sell out. Ooh, the market's down. It's going to go down further. Let me take my money out right now. And you lock in your losses and people are locked in. And then you're in the same boat of waiting then to try to figure out when you want to get back into the market. And you're typically buying back in when the market's going back up. So things are more expensive again. So you've lost money and then you're paying more to get it back. So you're compounding the impact there. So when you are grateful, you have a clarity around your enough, you have clarity around what you need, and you're not really operating out of fear, you're able to be more rational in the decisions that you make and really clear on the impact and what is best for you and your family. So there are ways to find fulfillment and growth in your finances. By focusing on what you're grateful for, you're more likely to feel fulfilled when it comes to your money. And the positive benefits are you're going to do a better job of sticking to your budget because you don't always feel like you need more. You're going to be able to set goals and feel accomplished as you work towards them. And you're going to enjoy the line items in your budget that are in line with your values. For example, spending time with your family or creating experiences with friends and loved ones. Those are the things that we're looking for that I typically look for with clients when we're looking at spending plans. We're looking to say, okay, we've gone through goals and we've talked a bit about values. And I can reflect back and say, I hear what you're saying. I hear you telling me that you want more flexibility, you want more balance, you want to travel more with your family, you want to have more of those cultivated experiences. But in looking at your spending plan, looks like you dine out a lot. It looks like you're paying extra for this gym membership. And I'm not against gym memberships, but pushing back a little bit, just to be clear, are these things in line with your values? How does this contribute to you pursuing this other thing that you're saying is the big priority? Is that worth it? Is it worth it for you to take dollars away from that life balance, those cultivated experiences, and put it towards more expensive food or towards additional clothing or spa treatments? Whatever those things are when you're looking at your spending plan, that's what we're typically looking at as financial planners. There's percentage basis too of, hey, you're just overspending in general. But really when you're looking at your spending, when you're trying to create and effect change in your life, it's a matter of, are these things in line with my values? Am I walking my talk? Even myself personally, I talk all of the time about wanting certain things and wanting to pursue certain things or valuing certain areas. And then life happens. And I find that if I'm not grateful and I don't necessarily consciously think of, okay, is my spending aligned with my values? I have to literally sit down and think about, where is our money going? And is it actually aligned with what we're saying is important to us? If I'm not spending time doing that and being grateful, it's very easy to get off track. That's where gratitude comes in. Feeling fulfilled in your finances has other benefits too that people overlook. So when you feel grateful for what you have in your life, then you're actually giving yourself the permission that you need to leverage your wealth to positively impact the lives of others. This could show up in your financial plan as charitable giving or supporting a local community project or even gifting money to a family member who's fallen on tough times. So that's also a really big one personally and with clients as well. So there's this sense of enough, but also when you're very grateful for what you have, you're more likely to contribute to positively impacting the lives of others. And so that's giving components, that's volunteer time, that's assisting family, and not putting pressure on yourself to do those things, but wanting to do it and wanting to do it within limits too of understanding, okay, I'm so grateful, therefore I want to give X, Y, and Z to this cause or to assist this family member with this thing. There's a psychological phenomenon that happens when you use your own wealth to improve somebody else's life. And what many people don't realize is that giving positively impacts your own mental, emotional, and physical health. So studies have shown that the more people give, the more life satisfaction they report. And others indicate that charitable giving actually activates your brain's pleasure centers that are connected to reward processing. And it's been proven that engaging in charitable acts like volunteering or helping your family and community can dramatically reduce mortality rates. So in other words, you're physically and mentally feeling better when you give. And I've seen this play out in our own lives. Giving has become a big thing in our lives. And what I did last year was started to track, Brian and I have given throughout our marriage to different causes, but we'd never really created an intentional giving statement or mission around what we were doing. We gave to causes that we felt were important. And now we're actually creating a family strategy around it. And I went back in 2018 actually, and started to tally up what we had given year over year to different causes and those totals and seeing that. And then that was really exciting to see, to total up the amounts that we've given over 5 to 6 years of time that I went back and seeing that total number, the total giving. And then there's this spark. Oh, we can do more. What more can we do in these areas? And how can we really maximize what we're giving? And what specific areas do we want to drill down into with the places that we are giving to? And so it really engages a different part of your mind and your capabilities when we're thinking about, this is just money that we're giving to causes that we want to help out with to lift them up. And it was really exciting. And I think it does help you to physically and mentally feel better in different ways. And the second often overlooked benefit to practicing gratitude in your financial life is that the more you approach money with this attitude of abundance, the more you attract additional abundance to you. So it's a concept that's a little woo-woo, and I'm not woo, I can tell you that. But I can tell you, you know, it's tough to wrap our minds around how feeling like you have enough could actually attract more. But many personal finance writers have discussed this scarcity mindset versus the abundance mindset. And so I don't think that you can manifest something into your life, because if you manifest things into your life without having plans, I think it's very easy for them to also disappear. So I'm not this believer in manifesting things, but I do believe in having this abundance mindset, because it means that you believe there's plenty for everyone and there's plenty for you. And so that's really maintaining a positive outlook on your life and your money, and you're not feeling fearful about growing your wealth or accomplishing your goals. And you operate in a different way when you're not operating out of fear, and you feel a different sense of ease, and you make more strategic decisions sometimes. And you can actually build your wealth, because in some ways you'll take more risk sometimes when you're not driven by fear, and sometimes fear drives you to take too much risk. So there's this balance depending on what works for you. But when you fear that there's never enough, you fall into some really negative financial habits that I just discussed. So you have the overspending, you have impulse purchases, you have veering off course, you have this constant need and desire to keep up with others, or to fill this void or this responsibility that there will never be enough. You're carrying this weight of needing to take care of others. I also see that as well, as this fear of needing to be the one that's rescuing family members or parents or siblings, and having to hold it all together. And that's scarcity too, is there's never going to be enough to do all those things. And being able just to take pause and appreciate what you have and know that it can't be your full responsibility, that you have worked very hard. And because you have this attitude of abundance, you're going to think constructively, what can I do? What can I do that will work and that will be okay and not throw everybody or myself off course? And how can I help? How can I help, but not in the way of you have to do it all? When you have this gratitude and this attitude of abundance, you're able to slow down and reflect a little bit more and think, okay, these people are having this issue. I cannot fully help or support. And that is okay that I cannot fully help or support. But what can I do? What feels good? Well, hey, maybe we'd like to give $500. Maybe we'd like to set aside $200 a month for future help for family members to be able to pull from that. When you slow down and you're grateful for what you have, and you're like, okay, here's what we need, here's what we can do, you think constructively and you think strategically about it versus trying to feel pressure to constantly meet an unknown number and to take care of all of the things. And so it works that way when you're a person who is acting out of fear in terms of needing to take care of everything. And it works that way when you're the person who works out of fear of trying to keep up with others. So slowing down and just taking advantage of positive opportunities. I can tell you that's what I see is the most helpful, and it gives you your ability to give to others and feel comfortable and confident in your own lifestyle. That confidence there and that security and clarity of, hey, we're grateful, this feels good, gives you the flexibility you need to make future decisions that will actually continually increase your abundance in life. And so that's where it's this abundance versus scarcity mindset comes into play. Just thinking more in abundance in terms of scarcity it doesn't matter what your wealth is, because I see this across all income and wealth levels. But having that abundance mindset is very helpful in terms of giving you peace of mind and helping you to be strategic and actually have more of an impact in others' lives, because you are clear that you are able to do this and you are clear on what you're able to do versus the spinning that tends to happen with overspending or overcommitting or overhelping. So how do we create a gratitude-focused financial plan? You might be thinking, how can I be grateful in my current financial state, right? I haven't saved enough. I still have debt. I'm nowhere near perfect when it comes to managing my money. Or how can I be grateful? I do have money saved. I do have all of these accounts open. I'm doing these things, but I have all of these other people who are pulling on me and draining on me, these other commitments that I'm never going to be able to stop working. I'm never going to have enough to do all of these things. So that's a very transferable mindset. I still have all of these things I need to do. I'll never have enough saved. I don't care if you have $0 in the bank or $1 million in the bank. That mindset goes across the spectrum. That is not a number associated mindset. That is just across personality types and people. So I don't care how much money you have. I definitely understand how you could just be thinking, how can I even do gratitude? Look at all of these things weighing on me. Know that you're not alone in thinking that money isn't a source of gratitude in your life. So 30% of Americans are stressed out about money constantly, regardless of their income or financial circumstances. But rather than pivoting and focusing on feeling grateful about your lifestyle and your finances 100% of the time, it's pretty easy to start with smaller steps in the right direction. So if you want to incorporate gratitude into your daily life or your financial plan, you can try keeping a gratitude journal. That's one of the things that I personally started in 2019 is a gratitude journal. And I was joking with my study group just recently about how it's a gratitude journal / journal. And so I will write the things that I'm grateful for. There's three things every day that I'm grateful for. And then there's musings of anxiety and other things too, because hey, we're all human and we have our stuff. So there's the gratefulness. And then there's also areas of being able to flush out thoughts as well. But a gratitude journal in general allows you to slow down and be mindful of the individual, unique, small things that you're grateful for. It doesn't have to be, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for my kids, I'm grateful for my job. Thinking specifically, what details, what individual, unique items are you grateful for? You know, I've listed out, for example, I am grateful for the time that I was able to sit down and play kitchen with Luca while he made me pretend snacks and poured pretend coffee for me and gave me my coffee in the pretend coffee pot instead of the cup. And we were able to color together, etc. So I remember that's a specific one that lifted me up, because for me, I value being able to spend more time with the kids. And being a breadwinner and being the career-driven person that I am, sometimes I feel like I don't get enough of that. So being able to be grateful and to recognize and document those individual specific moments are very helpful. And that's not finance related, right? That's just time. And documenting that memory and that thing that I'm grateful for ties back to my values. And it fills me up in a way that costs $0. And that's what you really find, is being able to do those things and document those things that you're grateful for typically cost you $0 to document those memories and to pause and reflect on them. So jotting down 3 to 5 things you're grateful for and making just one of them about money. And it can be something as small as, I'm grateful that I was able to spend $4 on a latte from Starbucks on my way to work this morning. And then thinking back, the holiday season's wrapping up. I'm grateful I was able to spend $4 on the peppermint mocha from Starbucks. And when you think of that, when you think of the details of the latte or the coffee or whatever it is that your tea or the wine, whatever those things are, you can connect more. The more details you give in those things that you're grateful for, the better, the more you relive them and the more they fill you up again. So by slowly gearing your mind to focus on the positive aspects of your financial life, you actually start to feel more gratitude when it comes to bigger financial decisions, and you're reaping the rewards as a result. So even if you're not ready to start journaling daily, and I can tell you, so there's gaps in time, you can even start smaller by having a conversation with your family or your partner, your spouse, or a friend each day about one thing you're grateful for, and kind of make that commitment there of going around the table at dinner and sharing one thing that you're grateful for that happened that day, or starting the day off with one thing that you're grateful for, or closing the day off at bedtime. Sometimes just being able to vocalize your gratitude, it's a little uncomfortable, right? When we have to say those things, but hearing that your family or friends are also grateful for what they have in their lives is enough to trigger it, right? So when you bring together a community to share, you're triggered and you're able to lead a more grateful life in a bigger way. So gratitude in general I think it's a work in progress. It's just like our finances. There's no straight path from not being grateful to being grateful. It's practice that you need to be intentional with, but it is one that I can tell you I've seen. I've been in the industry, I don't know how many years now, 15, how old am I? 16, 15, 16 years that I can see this attitude of gratitude really does positively impact people's wealth. It impacts your financial mindset, your sense of ease. And that's really what it's about. We don't want to go through our lives in our year. It's a new year. We don't want to go through the year stressed out and anxious about money. So if you can commit to a small gratitude practice and focusing on that around your money, and I'm not talking about doing like mantras or any of that, but just really being grateful and thinking and being grateful for what you have and those experiences and those things that exist in your life right now, I'm willing to bet that you're going to feel more fulfilled in the long run. So what's one small thing you can do right now to start incorporating an attitude of gratitude with your money? Thanks for listening to today's episode of Work Your Wealth. If you're looking for more information on how you can make smart choices with your money, head over to workablewealth.com and sign up for 9 steps to workable wealth and get free tips and action items delivered to your inbox weekly.